died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. He died for His enemies. He died for you. You know, if you had people standing up here, and you call them up here and there, here's a drug addict. And he talks about his addiction. Here comes another up here and he's a drunk. And he talks about how the alcohol is just controlling his life, and he's up here and here's a prostitute, and here's a whoremonger, and here's a thief, and here's a robber, and here's a adulterer, and here's just on and on the thing goes. The vilest of people, the murderer standing over here, and here you are. And you look at these people up here and you say, well, I'm not nothing like them. But I tell you, if you ever get saved, it's going to be like you stand up and you walk up here and you say, I'm no better than any of these up here. I'm a sinner. When did you ever see yourself as a vile person anyway? I mean a vile person where you could walk up here and you could stand with the prostitute and the drunks and the harlots and the whoremongers and the adulterers and the thieves and the robbers and the murderers and all of these, and you get right in there and say, I'm no better than they are. I need a Savior. When did you do that and trust Christ as your Savior? The night that the Lord saved me, I'd went for almost 2 years of battling this thing, being miserable, going down to my pastor's house every week. And June's back, she knows this is true. Every week, there was not a week go by that one day somewhere in that week I would knock on his door and say, preacher, I think I'm lost. I'm so troubled about my salvation. I don't want to go to hell. And over and over and over he told me, well, that's the devil. You need more faith. You need to pray more. You need to read your Bible more. And I'd go home and I'd get down, and there's many times I'd get down beside the bed in our bedroom and I'd open my Bible to Romans 10 and 9 and I'd read that and I'd say, Lord, if I'm lost, I want to be saved. You know, I had that word. That's a powerful word. If I'm lost, here I am, Lord. Never done nothing. But the night that I got saved, there was no if about it. That night I knelt down, Lord, I junk everything. I am a vile sinner. I come to you, Lord, I'm lost. I'm lost. I said that over and over to him. Lord, I am lost. And I can't save myself. And if you don't save me, there's no hope for me. And I wanted to be saved more than anything in the world. And the Lord saved me. That was on a Friday night, Saturday morning. Saturday, I'd come back, told June about it, and about 12 o'clock, I seen her over there crying. And she said, I'm lost. And you know, all I could tell her was what I did. Just trust Him. And the Lord saved her that day. What am I telling? Why am I saying all this? Folks, that's where the power of God is. That's where it is. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to be with the Lord or you're going to end up in the lake of fire. One of the two. And your works has nothing to do with anything. It's what He did for you on the cross. And you see that. You see yourself as a lost sinner. And in that condition, that frame of mind, I'm a lost sinner. I'm trusting You as my Savior. And boom, the job's done. And it's over with. And the thing about it is, you can be saved where you're sitting right now if you'll do it, and nobody will know it till you tell them. Will you trust Him? The mystery of iniquity doesn't have that answer for you. The religion just cannot give you what Jesus Christ gives you. Look in this thing in Colossians chapter 2. Notice what he says. He gives us warnings. And he says there in verse 6, Colossians 2:6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Now how did you receive Him? By faith. So how are you to walk in Him? By faith. By faith, I believe that in A.D. 33, Jesus Christ went to the cross and was nailed to that cross for my sins. I was born over here, and I'm leaving this world one of these days over here. And from them two points, my sins, everything that I'll commit in A.D. 33 was put to His account on the cross. And He died for my sins. And He paid for all of my sins, my past, present, future sins, whatever. They have been paid for. The slate has been wiped clean. And I received that by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, will you receive it for yourself? Just put your name right here. Yes, I believe that. I trust Him as my Savior. And you can leave out of here saved today if you're not. But look what he said. Rooted and built up in Him. Verse 7. And notice it's always in Him. Walk in verse 6. Walk ye in Him. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, the faith. You're thankful for this message? You're thankful for the mystery? You're thankful for the message that the Lord gave Paul? On and on. He goes on. Now what's verse 8? Here's the warning. Beware. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, they take from you what you have in Christ Jesus. That's what the philosophies, that's what he's talking about. Beware lest any man spoil you. The spoil goes to the victor. And so, to be spoiled, it means taken captive. It means that you lose something. Religion wants to take your freedom that you have in Christ and bind you to their religion. I mean, I wish people would get the picture about this thing. Religion wants to bind you down and put their thumb on you, and they don't want you free. Jesus Christ wants you free. And so he said, beware lest any man spoil you. Take the things that you have in Christ. Look, and what does it? Philosophy, vain deceits, and tradition. There are three things that this Bible warns you against. One of them is philosophy. The Greeks seek after wisdom. A philosopher is one that loves wisdom. Not the wisdom of God, the wisdom of this world. Philosophy. Traditions. And they teach doctrine. They teach traditions. Look in verse 22 of Colossians. He said, which all are to perish with the using, the ordinances, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Then the traditions are doctrines of men. And it has to do with religion again. Now, you find science. Look in, let me just read, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings, and opposition of science falsely so called. In other words, science has to do with knowledge. Knowledge is facts. Knowledge is having all the facts. Wisdom is knowing how to use that knowledge for the glory of God. Do you know the only true science book there is in the world today is that Bible you've got? It's filled with science. You ought to read the book of Job. Science talks about how a world was put together, the foundations and Orion and all the stars out there, and how God brought it all together. Science. And so these things, science falsely, the wisdom of this world, and religion, the traditions of men, is what's blinding this world to the true message of the cross. And so Jesus Christ died, He's buried, and He arose the third day. Well, your sins is what put Him to death, and if God hadn't have done away with your sins, He couldn't have raised Him the third day. So I know the cross is the payment, the resurrection is the receipt that the payment has been made, and God accepted it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But people's got a lot of pride about them, you know. First of all, Proverbs says a man's ways is clean in his own eyes. You see, man looks at himself through his own eyes and not the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in His sight. What you call good, God calls iniquity. Your good works, He says, is workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What you call good, He says, is a rotten mess to Him. What He calls good, you think is unnecessary. And so hence, in the last days, men will call evil good and good evil. And you know what they call Christianity and people like you and me and preaching the gospel, they call us like a cancer, as one man put it, in this country. And they call it evil. They're out to spoil you. Look in verse 16. You find that He said, let no man judge you. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you, deceive you, entice you with pleasure. The serpent beguiled me. As the serpent beguiled Eve, enticed her with pleasure. The thing was good. She saw that it was good for food, and she desired to make one wise. That's what He puts out there to deceive this world. Why? He doesn't want this message out. He doesn't want you to see that your sins has been paid for. He wants you to see. He wants you to go on thinking you've got to do something to gain God's favor. He doesn't want you to see that Christ gained it for you. If you ever see that, you'll be saved. Warnings. Now look at this thing about it. He talks about some things, and notice what they take from you, spoil you. He says there, in notice down through there, we come on down through verse 9. He said all about the traditions of men, it's not after Christ, for in Him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. If you're in Christ today, you're complete. There's nothing you can add to you. You're complete. What could water baptism or circumcision add to you in Christ if you're complete? Look at this thing about it. Notice what he says in Genesis. Oh, come on, I'll tell you what, let's just come on down and read verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He said, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. If it's made without hands, then it's a supernatural circumcision. Right? Notice this thing about circumcision. Turn over with me to Genesis and notice what it is in Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17, God in Genesis chapter 17 in verse 10 to Abraham, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. It was a sign. Circumcision was a sign. In verse, he tells in verse 14, and the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He had broken my covenant. In other words, circumcision had to do with death. Look back in chapter 16. In chapter 16, verse 1, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And so Abraham goes into Hagar thinking that that's going to be the promised child. Because God had told him in Genesis 15 that I'm going to bless thee and make thee a great nation, and thy seed shall number the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. And he says, well, I don't have no seed. But Eliezer, the servant, and he said, no, that's not it. And so Sarah says, well, I know how you can do it. Go into Hagar, and you can bear through her. And God says, nope, that is. And finally the Lord says, Ishmael is not the seed. It's the one I'm going to give you. And here's the covenant that I'm going to make. You take the foreskin. You circumcise every male child. You know what God said? It's a covenant of death. Is saying that the flesh can't produce what God said that He was going to do. You can't accomplish in your flesh so that God will accept you. There's nothing you can accomplish in the flesh to fulfill the covenant. And so circumcision was a sign. You have been spiritually circumcised through the circumcision of Christ. The same as baptism, and here's where the grease meets the squeak. Now, it's not hard to get around circumcision. You couldn't fill the church if you preach that you must be circumcised to be a member. You're not going to do that. Forget that. Oh, that's to Israel. That was between Abraham. That was to show Abraham, hey, you can't accomplish it. What you learned in the flesh, Doug, this is a sign, death to the flesh. I agree with that. Well, let's look at this thing about that. Look what he said in verse 12. Colossians 2:12. Circumcision we have is not made with hands. Spiritual. Then it's spiritual. It's a supernatural. It's done by the Spirit of God. You know what it is? It's separating you out. Sanctifying you. And I've done this many times. You have Christ. This is the gospel, His death, His burial, His resurrection. I got old Adam over here. Christ over here, the body of Christ. How are you going to get out of here and get over here? This back here is flesh. This over here is spirit. And so how are you going to make the jump? These people back here in Israel had the physical blessings, physical things. But you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Spiritual body over here. Neither male nor female, Jew or Greek. Same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. You're baptized by one Spirit into one body. That body's called the church. Has nothing to do with water. Look in verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism. Notice the phrase, with Him. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. It was the operation of God. The baptism in verse 12 is the operation of God. Is there anybody that disagrees with that? And if you do, you can go and you stand up and I'll give you 5 minutes to tell me why. Raised with Him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with who? When was Jesus Christ quickened? Resurrection. Then were you quickened with Him? If you were quickened with Him, then you had to die with Him, wasn't you? Then the baptism, buried with Him in baptism, is a baptism identification into His death, and you were buried with Him, and you were quickened with Him. Right? Quickened with together with Him, having forgiven you the bad ones. All trespasses. Now, how many is all? All is all, isn't it? Is there any that the Lord left out? It wouldn't be all. Look at this thing about just as Israel back here, they had a physical circumcision that they had to. And they're called the circumcision. Turn back to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what he said in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. So I got a circumcision that's made by hands, right? Well, I know that's physical. I got a circumcision over here that's made what?
What? Without. That's got to be spiritual. Everybody see that? They had a baptism back here with water. We have a baptism with no water. Look at it. I ain't going to pick it up. Back hurts. Colossians. Buried with him in baptism. Turn to Romans. I tell you what, first of all, let's look at their baptism. Turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Now quickly, Exodus chapter 19. Notice verse 5. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. See, this covenant, the circumcision, was Abraham's covenant, right? All right, you got Abraham. This covenant, the baptism, has to do with David. David's covenant. Notice what he said. Therefore, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of what? Priest, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Where's the children of Israel to be a kingdom of priests? Where are they to be a holy nation? Turn with me to Exodus 29. Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. They was to be a kingdom. A priest. Alright? Exodus chapter 29 verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Hallow, separate them out. Sanctify them out. In other words, if they was to be a priest, then they would have certain things they had to do, and that was ceremonial cleansing. It was a sign. It was just like the sign of circumcision. It separated of the covenant of circumcision. There was a sign of this covenant down here to be a priest, to be separated out. You had to do something. Well, look what he said in verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt wash them with what? Well, isn't that something? Wash them? Look with me, let's try it again. Turn over to chapter 40. So what separated them out? They got washed. That was one of the first things, right? Verse 12. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And Jesus Christ was a high priest. He came to John, the son of a priest. Zacharias was a priest in the priesthood, and John was his son, a Levite, and John baptized Jesus, separated him out, and he's entered in through the door of that sheepfold, that church back there, and water baptism sanctified them out for the priesthood. They were to be a kingdom of priests. And the mystery of iniquity wants the body of Christ to be spiritual Israel, so they take those things that was applied to Israel physically, and they try to apply them to you today to bring you into bondage and what it does, it says what Jesus Christ done on the cross was not enough to save your soul.
that you're not complete in Him if you don't have certain rites done on you. And that's tomfoolery. Look at this thing about it. Turn to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, and I got to hurry, look in Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. And I will take you from among the heathen, talking to Israel now, verse 24, and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land, future. Then, when He brings them out of the nations and out into their own land, then will I, what? What mode is that? Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And will I cleanse you in a new heart? And that's the new covenant. And so here comes John along, and he baptizes Jesus, because Jesus said, thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And that righteousness was the righteousness of the law. And He was the high priest of Israel, the King of kings. He was the King of Israel. And so John puts the water on Him. And the nation Israel was to be a kingdom of priests. And so John comes preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And if they would get in the water, it sanctified them and hallowed them out, separated them out for the priesthood and the ministry in that kingdom. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. But what about you? Look in Romans, take two passages. Romans chapter 6. You see, folks, Romans chapter 6 is a great chapter. I want you to take Romans chapter 6, and I want you to take 1 Corinthians and look in chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Romans chapter 6. Now let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 first. Verse 11. He's talking about verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are what? Washed. Isn't that something? But ye are sanctified, hallowed. You're set apart, sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Who washed ye? Spirit. He justified ye. He sanctified ye. How are you sanctified? Well, you came, He took you out of Adam. You trusted Christ and He baptized you. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, and same Lord over all. I mean, folks, it's by the Spirit. I don't have time to read all of it. Check it out. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4:5. We have one baptism. It's either water or spirit. Bless your heart. It's not fire. That ain't all. Look in Romans chapter 6. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? His death. Water don't put you into Jesus Christ. Whatever the baptism is, you were identified, you were sanctified, you were hallowed into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into
death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We have a new man, and we have a new attitude, we have a new nature, and we walk in newness of life. Why? We've changed identity. We're no longer in the flesh, in Adam, but we're in Christ the Spirit. Look in hence Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know what it is to be in the flesh? It's trying to gain God's favor by doing fleshly things. In other words, look back in verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, folks, the law, your flesh is weak. Your flesh can't keep the law. And you've got to be perfect or God couldn't accept you. And your flesh won't let you be perfect because it's not perfect. And so what the law couldn't do in that it was weak through your flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, He came and died for your imperfectness, your sins. And now, so here's a people all over the world today, and they're still trying to gain God's favor through their flesh. You can't do it. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now tell me something. You that have trusted Christ as your Savior, are you in the flesh? You're in the Spirit. You're over here. Now you walk around in geographically in the old body of flesh, but judicially and spiritually, you're in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh. Why? You're not trusting in your flesh to gain God's favor. You're not trusting in your flesh to do the right thing. You're trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that He did the right thing for your behalf, or in your behalf. Saved by grace. Now that's the grace of God. Are you talking about favor? That's it. We have a new identity. This last passage, David done held up my 5-minute thing. So last passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is why we do, verse 5. All, He's all we need. We're no longer in Adam. We've changed identity. And He's all I need. Romans, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and yourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We don't preach ourselves. We don't boast in what we do. We preach Jesus Christ. He's all I need. You talking about insurance. That's the greatest insurance that you could ever have. And it costs you nothing. You talking about being have fire insurance. That's it. Have you ever trusted Him? If not, will you do so right now while we bow our heads? Father, thank You for allowing us here. And I pray that the gospel will have an impact. Help people to see that it's so simple. Help them to realize that all they need to do is believe on You and they can have life. Thank You for each one. Thank You for our visitors. And Lord, we thank You for all that You've done for us. Lord, I pray that conviction will keep on hammering them till they trust you as their personal Savior. And Lord, we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I once again, Happy Mother's Day. And the reason